Welcome to the Life Over Coffee Podcast, conversations for transformation.
Did you know that this sex talk begins in a child's toddler years? As they learn about sexuality, intimacy, and relationships through the attitudes, the words, and interactions of their parents? It most certainly does. Every now and then, a parent will come to me and say, well, it's about that time where we need to have the sex talk with our child. Do you have any advice? Yeah, I do have some advice on the practical aspects of having the actual talk when that child is 10, 11, 12, 13 years of age. But one of the things that I want the parents to understand is the sex talk has already begun many years prior. Because sex is a relationship. It's about two people honoring God in the context of a relationship. And it's more than just physical intimacy. It's how we relate to each other, and our children are learning how to relate to each other as they watch their parents interact with one another. Of course, as the parents interact with them, and also if they have siblings, they are learning about relationships. So by the time that they come to that point of having the actual talk, they know a lot about relationships. They have spent the last 10 plus years where the cement setting time has hardened, and they know about how to relate with another individual. And therefore, you come to them at that point and you add to, or you build onto, what a relationship is like, specifically regarding physical intimacy. One of the things to understand about physical intimacy or sex is that it is a shame-laced subject because of our mutual fallenness. One talk just before they head off to high school is not enough to help them to think right about gender, identity, and sexuality. This is even more important in our day because there is so much confusion out there through the bombardment of social media, as our children are not only learning about intimacy and relationship inside the home, but there are many mentors on these social media platforms. And so as parents, we want to get out in front of that, recognizing that there is a sense of shame to sex and sexuality. I mean, even our worldly counterparts, though they give the appearance of no sex shame, and they act as though they have all the answers, they're not free from sexual entanglements. We read about this in Genesis 3:7, where it says, the eyes of both, Adam and Eve, were open, and they knew that they were naked. And what did they do? They sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. It is our collective ignorance and embarrassment with sex that motivate us to keep sexual communication tucked behind our Adamic fig leaves, which is precisely why biblical parents want to model and practice biblical sexuality in the home. Sexual communication, or perhaps you could say sexual koinonia, it begins early in a child's life. Again, because sex is not just about the physical act. Our sexuality cannot be pared down to a weekend retreat with a child so the parent can explain the birds and bees to them. Sexuality is an unavoidable, communal, everyday, interactive lifestyle for all people, especially the ones inside the home. Long before there is physical interplay between a man and a woman, there are non-negotiable elements of sex that children need to learn. Let me give you a few examples. For example, the physical act of sex should be characterized by the elements of gentleness and kindness. As examples, let's say that your children have been observing the gentle and kind example of the parents. Now, I'm not saying that parents are perfect, because we are not. We do have the gift of repentance, and so whenever we are ungentle or unkind, we can repent and get back on the track again. And so I'm not talking about the perfection of these two wonderful traits, but I am talking about the characterization of them, that this is a pattern in our lives, though we all have our faux pas from time to time, and we can be ungentle and unkind. But as they see the gentleness and kindness of the parents, then they are learning how to relate to another person. And then when you add on to this conversation, when they're, let's say, 12 years of age, and we're talking about physical intimacy, well, imagine if this child has 10 years under their belt where they recognize or they have participated within a gentle and kind construct, then that's naturally going to outflow into, well, how you would be physically intimate with the opposite sex. Being kind to one another is a choice that makes physical intimacy the way God intended. You can't do sex right without being kind to the person that you're intimate with. Who wants to have sex with an unkind or ungentle person? Many of you have been there, as I have, and you know that it just doesn't work that way. And so what we want to do is to set our children up by giving them a model of kindness and gentleness that they observe in our lives for more than a decade. And we want to teach them to be gentle and kind as well, to where that is their habituation. A caring person will perform sex with the intent of exalting the name of Christ through other-centered lovemaking. Sexual love is not sexual abuse. The sex of the unkind soul is death by a thousand paper cuts, destroying what physical intimacy could be, what it should be. Biblical parents want their children to learn an other-centered way of life, and that's why we want to model the life of Christ in our homes at the very beginning of the children's lives. And so as the person comes to you and says, hey, when's the best time to have the sex talk? Well, newsflash, you have been having the sex talk for many, many years now in your home. A child's view of sex and sexuality is primarily shaped by their personal observations and interactive experiences in the home. By the time a parent leads their child through the sex talk during the preteen years, by the way, when that time is, I don't know. It is different for each child. I do have a book at our store, lifeovercoffee.com. It is a free digital download titled The Talk. The sex talk is what I'm talking about. And I walk through this with you, not just what I'm sharing with you here, which this is the introduction to the book, but also the practicalities of it when you get to the point of actually having the talk. And I would encourage you to get that free digital download at lifeovercoffee.com. But when the parent leads their child through the sex talk, and the tech talk too, as a matter of fact, you want to do that one as well. I do have a free book at Life Over Coffee that I wrote. It's called Something About Cyber. I can't remember the exact title, but it's free, and it's on technology as well. And so I would encourage you to have the tech talk and the sex talk with your children. But when you come to that point during the preteen years, the foundation of sexuality had already been set and inculcated into the child's mind. I mean, imagine it that the dad or the mom is characterized as angry. Now, again, I know that we all get angry. And again, I'm talking about a characterization. Well, then that child has learned how to get what they want, and they will take those patterns into physical intimacy as well. And thus sex becomes manipulative and coercive. Parents have the privilege to create a gospel-saturated sexuality worldview that will make the future sex talk with the child come across as something consistent with the child's experience with the parent's sexuality in the home. A healthy view of sex does not begin with the talk. It begins with how the parents communicate the practical Christ to their children long before their children know anything about sex. And so in this book, The Sex Talk, I will teach you how to create that long runway that we need to create that leads to the eventual, inevitable sex talk in our child's life. It's a runway that looks like Christ and the church and all the fullness of what marriage should be, including physical intimacy. As you think about teaching your child physical intimacy, the best place to prepare is your heart and life. That's where the sex talk really begins, in the heart of the husband and the heart of the wife. And then it works out into how they relate to each other. And then they imitate that or model that, export that to their children. Their children pick up. They absorb their parents for 10 years or more. And then you come to the place of the sex talk. When the child is old enough to have the talk, well, they've had that long runway because they have experienced what Christ and the church looks like through the interactions and lifestyle of their parents. And so the first place to start is in your own heart and life. And so I have a few self-assessment questions that will guide you in such a way that you can teach your child about sex by saying what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11:1. Follow me as I follow Christ. And so number one, and I have four here that I want to share with you, sex is about kindness. The question is, what are your children learning about kindness from your example? I would recommend that you have a conversation with your spouse. And of course, if your marriage is not in a place to where you can have this type of conversation, I would encourage you to have a conversation with someone of the same gender who can speak into this and help you as you wrestle with these concepts. Minimally, you can change yourself. And so sex is about kindness, obviously. And so what are your children learning about kindness from your example? Number two, sex is about selflessness. What are your children learning about selflessness from your example? You can see where these questions are, how these questions are framed. They're all framed the same way. Sex is about maturity. What are your children learning about maturity from your example? And then finally, sex is about love. What are your children learning about love from your example? One of the things that I would encourage you to think about, and I know this will apply to most of you, is that you're going to be thinking, well, this is not who we are and this is not who we have been. And so we've made a mistake. How can we, or maybe the parent would think we've ruined our children forever. No. And if you have that kind of thought, then I would want you to carefully listen to what that thought is saying. That is a legalistic thought. That thought is saying that my sin, the mistakes that I've made in our marriage and parenting, is greater than the grace of God. That's legalism, meaning that if I had done better, if I had made the right choices, if I would have done it differently, then our children would be different. It's not a permission to be see how lousy you can be at marriage and parenting, but there are two ditches here. One is presumption, where we just presume on God's grace and we be any way that we want to be. The other one is legalism, where we think it is all dependent upon us. We are secondary causal agents. God is the primary causal agent, and He can save your children and lead them down paths of righteousness despite us. I would be a testimony of that. And so as you think about this, maybe you're coming into this podcast or video a little late and you're thinking, oh my goodness, well, our marriage doesn't characterize any of these things that you're talking about. We have ruined our child forever. No, you haven't. Your best parenting advice is to pray. And so you want to pray. Ask God what you can change now. It's not too late. I mean, you can go to your children and say that we haven't lived the best examples that we should have lived, and we are about changing those things. And you can step into those leadership opportunities and those mature conversations that you could have, and you can do that today. For those of you who, or maybe you're getting ready to get married, or you have kids that are young in the home, well, this is right for you. And so when does the sex talk begin with your children? Well, it begins in the toddler years. Now, I would encourage you to go to lifeovercoffee.com and get this free book. It's a digital download called The Talk, and you can get this chapter or this introduction, plus all the others. It's very practical, but there's also some foundational work in there as well, and it will benefit you, and I want you to have it. And then, of course, if you know young couples, or couples with young children, rather, let them know about this book. because they don't want to wait till the child is 10, 11, or 12 to have the talk. They want to have the talk today. By the way, they are having the talk today by how they live their lives, however they are living their lives. Thank you so much, and God bless.
Thanks for joining us. Learn more and get access to other resources at lifeovercoffee.com.